Satisfied with things, I'd like to delve into them. I want to know why and wherefore. And I'm always and ever on the lookout for a mystery. Now, a mystery is not something that can never be understood. It is something of which you or I, for the moment, may be ignorant. Concerning that thing, we may not have the knowledge thereof. Will Rogers one time said the statement that we're all ignorant, we're just ignorant about different things. And you know things that I don't know. And I know things that you don't know. And because you don't know those things, they are a mystery to you.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And we folks here, we have an understanding.
Yeah.
And we have a revelation.
Yeah.
And we have a grasp upon certain truths there that everybody don't have a grasp on. And they don't have an insight on.
Yeah.
And they don't have an understanding on. And to us, it's a revelation to them.
It's a mystery.
Now, great is the mystery of godliness. Now, when it's referring to humanity, godliness is a wonderful thing. It's a mystery to see the way some folks have that touch of Christ in their life.
Yes,
how some people have just a separated, dedicated, concentrated walk with God,
yes,
while others are so carnal, conniving about, and they do not have that something that sets them apart. They instill no victory, no compulsion to get ahead and climb the peaks with God in my heart. They just don't put it there. They don't challenge my faith. They don't thrill my soul. They don't tug at the strings in the cords of my heart and pull a better man out of me. They just don't dare. There's some folks that live and spend their lives in the lowlands,
yes,
and they go down and now and then freak with the hawks of sin, and somehow I just don't see them have anything that I want to be.
Amen.
Well, on the other hand, there's some folks that, I don't know, they just do so much for me.
Yes.
When I get around them, they just seem to thrill me. They seem to bless me. They seem,
yeah,
to pull me out of myself. And if there's anything that resembles God, why, they try to develop it in me and make a better man out of me. And that's why I love to hang around good men like I see here.
Praise the Lord.
I see things in their lives, and I see things in your lives that I just want. I covet. I desire, I seek,
yeah,
and God knows the do. God knows the do. I want that. There's nothing in this world that I want. It's a mystery to see a man give up sin. It's a mystery to see somebody in the prime of life when really they could go out and live for the devil, but they're living for God.
Amen.
And it's a mystery to see them dress like they do and walk like they do and talk like they do.
Yes.
And the whole world is going after fad and after folly and after fashion, but somehow it's a mystery. Godliness is a mystery.
Yes, sir.
And you can't beat it into some people. You couldn't do it. You just couldn't do it. But others are just so glad to give up anything for the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, great is the mystery of
godliness. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh, you know what it means to me when I see that. And oh, God bless you. Men and women that walk by, and their lives are an example and such an influence, and what an impact they are upon the community in which they live, for the name of Jesus, for the glory of God.
Praise the Lord.
You're writing your signature upon so many lives, and thank God for the imprint, the impression you left upon mine. But on the other hand, I'm not here just to talk about that. I want to make this refer to God. And this refers to deity, the being of God itself here. Now, I want to talk to great is the mystery. I want to talk about great is the mystery of God. Now, notice how we have 6 points in this one verse. And we're going to call this a chain. This is a chain of mystery.
Yeah.
And it's a golden chain.
Uh-huh.
And the chain is no stronger than its weakest link.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. It's no stronger than its weakest link.
Right.
And I know that you can hang upon this chain, and it'll support you.
Amen.
And time has not tarnished this.
Amen.
It's just as fresh and just as new tonight to me as it was when Paul penned it many years ago.
Amen.
And it has not corroded. It has not just deteriorated. It's not worn thin. And men may say it doesn't mean today what it meant way back there. It means just as much today. It can thrill your heart just like it thrilled Paul's when he penned it down. And then God just dipped down into his mind and brushed all the cobwebs and all the dark thoughts away. And he just turned the light on and let him see it. And you can see it tonight. You can have that clear-cut revelation. You can see this thing. My God can give it to you. But if God don't give you a revelation, you never will have it. Somebody said, well, you mean there's some things about God I don't know? That's right. There's mysteries about him that you don't know, but he has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And I'm thankful we have a God that does have that mysterious touch of time. I hate to think that I served a God whose mind was no deeper than mine, and whose experience had no more to offer proper than mine. But we have a God, brother, that you have never sounded his depth, and you have never failed his speech. You can never go to the far reaches of his domain. No, sir, brother. And there's just no limit to God. There's no measuring God. I don't know what you'd use for a yardstick, a rule of measurement. I don't know how you'd sound it out. There's just no way to go about it. And I was just so captivated as I looked at the glory and the flowers that my father made. And you see, there's mystery in a flower. I cannot tell you, but perhaps you are somewhat of a horticulturist. And you can explain to me why a couple of seeds, they may be the same size and shape almost. And you put them in the ground, and one would bring out a gold flower and another one here. Such a beautiful deep one, if that is real, I don't know. And one may be a yellow, one may be green, another may be a sort of a violet cast, another may be a rose, another is a white lily. And I don't know, I just don't know so much about it, but life comes here from a seed. And they'll take that seed when it's old, and they'll let it dry, and they'll put it in there. And you explain to me how you can put a seed of corn in the ground, and out of that dead seed, suddenly it can break forth and life can come again.
Yes.
Explain to me how one little old watermelon seed that doesn't weigh very much, and you put that in the ground, and suddenly that thing will just begin to break forth, and it'll die, it'll germinate, and you put the water to it, and the sun beats down, the wind blows, and the vines begin to crawl, and here comes maybe a great big watermelon here and a big watermelon there, and they have hundreds and hundreds of more seeds in there. Explain it if you can. I just don't know how that one little seed, it can take a little old vine and run it around, and life can come out and get it all done. Now, there's a mystery there that I have never been able to figure out. And they have taken seeds they got from Pharaoh's tomb and stuck them in the ground, and they're still growing today. I don't understand that. Why don't it die? How come life is still there? But to me, that's a mystery. And you cannot put your big feet down, brother. And you can't put your little dainty feet down, sister, if they are small. You can't put them down. You see, most women, they want those shoes that are a little on the outside and big on the inside. And that's right. And you can't put your feet down there, sister, without putting your feet upon a mystery. That's a mystery everywhere you go.
That's
the way it's traveled now. That's a mystery. You'll find a mystery when you look at the stars, and you'll find a mystery as you look at the stars. Yes, sir, yes, sir. It's just a mystery everywhere. This world's wrapped up in mystery. Everywhere you look, you see a mystery. There's a mystery about the sunset. And there's a mystery, brother, about that rainbow. There's a mystery, Joe says, about the balancing of the clouds. Try to figure out, if you can, how it's up there. And I'm not just here to tell you about the mystery of the atom. And I'm not here to tell you about the mystery, brother, of how a baby's born. And I just don't understand all that. How out of nowhere here can come
a little frail boat here, such a little frail craft that hits an unknown shore, and housed in that little frail, fragile temple of clay, such a priceless commodity, a human soul. And it hails maybe the port with a one universal cry that's known to any country, any clime, just a cry. Everybody understands what it is. And the baby don't know where it is, but it just hollers for help, and suddenly it finds itself in a mother's arms, and it's nursed, and it's cuddled, and it's sheltered, and it's bathed, and it's warmed, and it's soothed, and it's comforted, and it's rocked, and it's loved. And you know, life is a wonderful thing, and I don't understand it, because out of nowhere, out of the pages of obscurity, and out of the realm of darkness, a baby comes.
Yes.
But you go 70 years later, and in another room, why, friends are standing around, and wrinkled hands are raised for the last time, and suddenly a feeble, cracked voice cries out again for the last time, and it tries to get a hold of somewhere, and it holds another old aged hand, maybe in hers or his, and says, "Honey, I'm crossing over now. God love you. Meet me on the other side." And I just watched not long ago my own little darling girl's eyes close, and for the last time, and 17 years old, and I watched her as she struggled to the last, and just couldn't go on anymore, and she fought so valiantly, about 5 hours there trying to hang on, and the death came upon her, and I prayed and prayed until I couldn't pray anymore. And suddenly, Mom said, "Honey, we love you. Oh, we love you, honey." And suddenly she says, "I love you too. I love you too." And she closed her eyes and talked in tongues. And suddenly her eyes closed for the last time. And you don't know how you felt when you saw your loved one just sail on out. And Mom fell on the floor and cried and said, "Please, please, God, please." And I said, "Mom, just let her go now. And it's going to be all right, Mom. It's going to be all right."
Yeah.
And I don't understand it. And I was numb, and I couldn't eat maybe for about 4 days. And they said, "You better eat, preacher." I said, "I can't." And he explained it. "Well, I've preached many funerals, but when it hit my family..." And I said, "Well, now I'm going through it like others have, but I don't understand it. It's a mystery to me. Where they come from, I don't know. Where they go, we don't know anything about it on this side here. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. No, same as mysteries everywhere. You see, Sister Ballester and I were married one time. Way out there in a little old town called San Antonio. Yes, sir, and we were married on a day that's very popular in Southern California, where I was born and raised. And not far from my home there, there's a quaint little town. Of course, it's not so much so anymore. But they used to have old white stucco Spanish-style architecture with a red tile roof. And everywhere you look, you can see the same buildings. Of course, now there's a lot of different things there. They still have the old Mexican missions built by the priests as they went up and down the El Camino Real. But, you know, I used to travel there many times, and they always were famous in that little old town, just a hamlet when I was a lad. But there was something that happened on that day. They had a little swept-winged bird they call the swallow. And they built their nest in a mud house. And just as sure as March 19th rolled around, you could expect the swallows to come back to Capistrano. And that's the day that Sister Ballester and I were united in matrimony. I can't forget that because of that day. Of course, she don't let me forget it. She starts in 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time. And said, "You know what's coming. You know what's coming. So I don't have to worry." But you know, on that day, they'll have men there with their mics, and they'll have newspapers there, representatives to write it down, and bird watchers and lovers are out there to see it come. The swallows are coming back to Capistrano.
Yes.
And how do the little birds do it? Well, they didn't get the fellowship card like I did. Just didn't get it.
I got one somewhere here.
And here it is. On the back, it has a calendar. Those little birds that fly away in the fall and they come back in the spring. They sail way down south. And just as sure as March 19th comes around, the swallows come back to Capistrano.
Yes, sir.
They don't have a watch on there that'll tell them now it's 6 o'clock in the morning, you better leave, and you better give yourself so many days traveling time. You're going to travel 40 miles an hour, whatever it is, to get there, or 60 or 70. I don't know how fast those things will go. And you better leave now. They don't say, now this is March the 1st, and you're way down there, and you'll have so many more days to get there. They don't have a calendar. They do not have a watch. But those birds don't miss it. And explain to me if you can how come they can do it. I just don't know. There's some things we don't understand.
Right.
Explain to me if you can, please, how that Arctic tern and how that golden plover, how it can leave those frigid waste regions of the north place there in the Arctic. How they can leave the Northland, and how they can sail down past Florida, and how they can go out yonder on the Pacific flyways, and they can set them down those lonesome, lonely little islands yonder, 3,000 and 4,000 and 5,000 miles over trackless wastes. How can those birds get there without a compass? They never miss that land and field. And they just do it year after year, brother. What is it that does it? We've got a God that's governing this thing. That's where you look. And if you find mysteries down here, why not expect the mysteries up there? Now let's look at the first link in the chain. Now, great is the mystery of godliness. Your first thing here is God was manifest in the flesh.
Yes,
the first mystery is that my God was a man.
Amen.
And the world has never been able to figure that out. Oh, but I'm glad that I found out that God was in Christ. Second God in the world. To the world. You know, they're still trying to figure out, and every Trinitarian you meet, he'll want to take you over here in the first part of the Bible where it says, let us make man. And every one of those boys in there run up with the same thing, just like they really found something. Who was God talking to? Isn't that the first thing to say, Brother Hudson?
Amen.
Well, you know how I stop him? I say, I'll tell you, the first thing that's established is who he was not talking to.
Yes.
And that's right. Who he was not talking to. And you get him over there where God says he stretched out the heavens alone. He made the world all by himself. He said there wasn't any God before him. There wouldn't be any God after him. There wasn't any God beside him. He was God all alone. And if there's no other God that were before him, wouldn't be any other after him, we can prove that he wasn't talking to another God.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
He wasn't talking to any other God. And we found that my God was manifested in the flesh.
Yes.
You know, that's what the world couldn't figure out. When Jesus Christ were here, they wanted to stone him one time.
Yes.
And he said, for what good work do you stone me?
Yes.
And they said, not for any good work, but thou being a man, and making thyself God.
Amen.
Oh, listen to me, please. He was God, and he was man. I'm thankful that I could look at him. It's just like the old robe the high priest used to wear. It had the threads, you know, maybe of scarlet. It had them a purple. It had them a blue. Had those linen threads running this way. Then it had little old strips of gold going the other way. And you just look at the garments on the priest one way, and you can see the linen touch.
Yes.
And when the sun hit it right from another angle, you can see the gold of the globe glowing there. And let me tell you, when you look at Jesus, sometimes in the pages of the Word here, he looks a bit like a man.
Yeah.
He acts like a man.
Yeah.
He walks like a man.
Yeah.
He sleeps like a man.
Yeah.
He talks like a man. But I tell you, brother, when you just let it hit him right from another angle, he speaks with the accent of eternity. He walks like God. He talks like God. He acts like God. Because he is God. He was God. He was And the world was destroyed because of evil. And we find that when the waters had abated and he going down, he said, well, now it's, I guess maybe we'll find land pretty soon. It ought to be just about time. And he sends forth that raven, and of course it goes out, and old black wings get to flapping around, and of course if there's any carcass left, why, it don't mind putting its old ugly feet on there, it'll land on that. It's not particular, it's not careful, it belongs to the Karen Eaton family, and it'll just get out, and it's not a bit choosy, and that's a type of an evil spirit. Then he sends forth a dove, such a beautiful type of the Holy Ghost, of the good spirit.
Yeah.
And you know, the Bible says the dove found no place for the sole of its feet.
No.
Very carefully it come back, and it fluttered and flew around and come back, and he sends it back again, you know, with that little olive branch. It showed that the thing was coming down, and he said, well, the water's going down, we've discovered land.
Yeah.
But when he sent forth that dove again, it didn't return to him anymore. It went out. It went out. Never saw. We have two spirits in the world. You have a black one, you have a white. You have a good one, you have a bad one. And your life and mine will be influenced by the good spirit or by the bad spirit.
Yes.
In other words, you're going to be influenced by heaven or by hell. By the Holy Ghost or by the devil from below.
Yes.
And your life, brother, is going to be worked on by either one of these spirits.
Yes.
And you find that every living last man or woman that come in this world, they have been affected by that dirty black devil from the pits of Pandemonium. Everybody's been affected by the enemy below.
Yeah.
I ought to say there was nobody that ever came in this world, rather that the Holy Ghost, that the devil from above, could come and let the soul of his feet set upon. Everybody had sin.
Yeah.
Everybody had a shame.
Yeah.
Everybody had a touch of Adam.
Yeah.
Everybody had a touch of devilment.
Yeah.
If Moses was there, he lost the victory.
Yeah.
If Abraham was there, he told a lie. If somebody else was there, he was a cheater. There was some sin, and nobody, no matter who you looked at, they had a sin.
Yeah.
They had a good heart.
Yeah.
They had a faith.
Yeah.
Everybody fell short of God's
standard.
Yeah. Until the day when Jesus Christ stood in the water to be baptized. And while he stood in that water, then blessed be God, here come the dove right on down.
Yes.
Oh, yes, sir. That dove descended upon him.
Yes.
That dove descended upon him.
Yes.
This was the only thing, brother, that the dove ever saw that was fit to put its feet upon. Well, you know what happened? A voice began to speak out. This is my beloved son. This is my brother. This is my desire. This is my children. I'll justify him. I'll justify him. I'll condemn the world, but I'll justify him. Oh, let me tell you, that's what happened. He was justified in the spirit. He was justified in the spirit. Every one of us has been a sinner. I've been condemned by the Holy Ghost. Messengers.
Yes.
Oh, that encamp around them that believe in God and trust in His name.
Yes, sir.
But if somehow God would give me different eyes, you may not see it, but I wouldn't doubt for a moment that around this church somehow God has His angel protecting us. I don't expect to see things all the time. You know, you can play a little old note on some kind of an instrument. far that we can hear, and then it shuts off.
Amen.
The dog hears sounds that you can't hear.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And you know, there's eyes that when it comes as far as their ability to see, to can, why, they can run way out there.
Yeah.
I guess we saw some antelope as we went to Oregon. You know they have 8-power eyes? Brother, that's vision, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
They see you long drive before you can see them. They got spy glasses on. They got 8-power magnification on them. Their eyeballs when they look out. And I don't know, here me with 20, 120, 70, I can't hardly see. But wait a minute. It said he was seen of angels.
Yes,
he who had angels for attendants came to earth one time, and there was angels around his birthplace.
Yeah.
And wherever Jesus went, he was seen by the angels.
Yes, sir.
When he was in the wilderness being tempted after that long fast, angels were there to strengthen him. Angels stood there, no doubt with a hand upon the hilt of a flaming sword, ready to do his bidding, answer his beck or his call. He could have called 70,000 of them down to do battle. He just had one time that killed 186,000 in one shot. But all angels were there. Angels at his tomb. Angels at his resurrection. My God lives around angels. God only angels. What else did it say? I don't understand this business. When I was a little Catholic boy, we walked the streets of Los Angeles. We were told never to go to Pentecost Church. It was of the devil. And Papa Popey, you know, we had to believe in him. And old Father Shinbargen, the red nose. Of course, when Dad went to drink with him, Dad could out drink him. And they were all a bunch of winos. Those priests there, none of them had anything. Big fight every Saturday night in the church. And that's about all. Bootleggers were their members, so they paid the best contributions. Didn't have to give up anything, didn't believe anything, didn't have anything, didn't know anything. And poor folks deluded. But what a shame it was. But one day when I stepped into Pentecost,
glory,
I saw something.
Yes,
I found something.
Yes.
He was preached under the Gentiles. What'll make a man that makes $50, $60, $100 a week? What'll make him dig down in there and pay 10% out of his wages? What'll make him do that? Because he wants this gospel to be preached on the Gentiles. When you have an evangelist come by, well, I know you need a new dress, and you need another pair of shoes or another pair of slacks, and maybe you could use some more things, and you're putting kids through school. But here now, we're taking a missionary offering. What'll make you put that last dollar in the missionary pan? What'll make you do that? Because you want this gospel preached unto the Gentiles. Somebody's going to preach it to the Gentiles, and it's a known fact that brother, any nation's ever got the gospel, it was brought to them by a foreigner.
Right.
It has to be brought to them, and it's going to be preached to the Gentiles, whether you do or not.
Amen.
Because the prophet said, brother, Malachi did it, and he said from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, my God was talking, he said, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. You go to the Gentile people and you find out what the greatest name of deity is. Brother, we're preaching the name of Jesus everywhere. Oh, yes we are. Yes we are. That name is great. It's going to be preached. It's going to be preached among the Gentiles. Some only have a partial understanding. I'll confess and concede that point. And they don't know what they're trying to do. Some of them poor ignorant people. But they'll spend thousands of dollars and go on the radio because there's something tells them you got to talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
I know that, but we've got a message that'll condemn this world.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm getting stirred up as I never have before, because this message of the kingdom must be preached, brother.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Unto the Gentiles. May I have your next one, please? I want to hurry.
Believed on in the world.
I don't know. I sat there all a tremble. I didn't have any understanding of the Word of God. And that fellow was talking about spreading some nets out here over Tyre and Sidon. He was talking about the fishermen now living in little old huts, and you know, and I couldn't understand what it was all about. But as he talked, brother, my hair stood up. It actually did. A sinner boy on the run. I was in rough shape, bad fix. But oh, God had a head start on me. I said, God had a head start. I had a Pentecostal mother. And she died before I was 5 years old with TB, and she went out. And she prayed that God would save her boy and make him a preacher. And I did not know that. But oh, say, 15 years had gone all by, but one day I staggered in a Pentecostal church. And I say, God had a head start on me.
Yeah.
And you just can't get ahead of God. Oh, yeah. Oh, sir. And there were some tears in a little old bottle up there. And they mingle with God's tears. You know, he cried a little bit, but he's down here. He answers prayer.
Yeah.
If you pray a prayer, you listen to me. Brother, God will honor that prayer.
Yeah.
God will honor that prayer. Salvation. And I got down, and I didn't know what it was all about. And God says, well, this is where I'm going to have to get you. And I'm going to bring him in tonight. And they gave that altar call, and they said, would you raise your hand for prayer, you know. And, well, I've never done a thing like that. I feel like I was pushing up a sack of cement that night. And I never did get it too high. And I raised it, and everybody had their eyes closed. But I no sooner got it that high, and I think Aunt Pearl from Mississippi, she said, God bless you, honey, you'll never regret it. And they brushed me off. And my old rubber legs began to, what was going on now? Yes, sir. And the big Aunt Gertie, she weighed about 250 pounds, and she just got me and shoved me down. And, of course, I couldn't get back up, but she stood at attention over me. And I prayed, and she gave me her handkerchief. Of course, it wasn't much bigger than that. And one good blow fixed it. And it didn't take long. It just didn't take long. And all I prayed and squalled and beat the floor like a stuffed hog, a hollered and yelled and squalled, and I didn't know what I was doing. I prayed for my dead mother and my drunk daddy and everything else. I didn't know how to pray. I'm a Catholic boy.
Yeah.
All right. I was making a silent cross and running to races on a rosary which you didn't have with me. But oh, let me tell you, Bible said he was believed on in the world.
Yeah.
I got out of there believing on somebody that I never met.
Yeah.
I got up in there believing, bless God, on somebody who I've never met, who I've never seen. Bless God. Oh, yes, sir. And I got up and somebody said, well, said, now you got saved. Tonight, one fellow said, well, nah, I said, you got to get the Holy Ghost. Well, I said, what's that? Well, I said, you're talking tongues. Well, I said, how do you do it? Well, I said, I can't show you right now. But if you get down there and you just say, glory, glory, raise your hands and praise the Lord, you get the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, I went down and, brother, they beat my back and shampooed my hair with spit and I didn't work for the Lord. And they rubbed me, I mean, give me one more time.
Yeah.
It took me a little while because I was so green, didn't know. In the first 29 days I was at the altar, I was praying everybody let me alone. Stuck my head under the altar and did everything else. But one day I got so hungry for God, I didn't care whether the school kept or not.
All right.
Well, yes, sir. I believed on him in the world. I believed on him. I never saw one living human being get the Holy Ghost. Don't remember him talking in tongues. Don't know a thing about it, but they said there's such a thing, I'm going to get it. I said, God, this is it. They can all go home if they want, but I'm going to get the goods tonight.
Tonight.
They come to me. Here I come.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God, if you don't give it to me, you're going to have to consider me real good. You're going to have to consider me because I'm really coming at you. And I'm going to give it a run for the money tonight.
Yeah.
And I got down and I prayed and I didn't have to do it 5 minutes. No, sir. Until I was on the way. I was on the road. Believe on him in the world.
Yes.
I said they're going to believe. I've seen folks come and say, oh, no, sir, I'm not going to have it. It won't happen. It can't be.
A
woman come
just the other day. She brought her husband. Brought her husband over. And said, now, he said, Reverend, he said, we're going to get a divorce if you can't help us. I said, I'll do my best to help you. Well, he said, you've got to give us the answer now. You're a minister. You know the Bible. And he said, I don't believe that flood. I don't believe that fish story of Jonah. I don't believe the Red Sea. I don't believe the River Jordan. I don't believe 40 years without any new shoes. I don't believe all that tripe. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. He said, do you? I said, I believe every little thing in there. Everything in the book.
All right.
I like it all. I like it. Believe it!
Right.
And what I can't understand, I put on the shelf and say, thank you, Jesus, and so anyhow.
Thank God.
Yes, sir! And God let me see it all later on, maybe. Well, I said, what's your trouble? He said, this woman of mine, for 9 years, we had the happiest home you ever saw. He said, we go to the picture show once a year. Hardly twice. He said, we may go bowling once or twice a year. I live for her. She has lived for me. We have two of the sweetest children you ever saw. And now, all of a sudden, she's joined the church, got religion, got baptized in Jesus' name, don't have the Holy Ghost, but seeking it. I want you to tell her to quit it and come back and make me a wife. Our home's going to break up. And God, He instituted marriage, and you ought to, and if you don't believe a home sticking together, well, you couldn't be a God. And oh, He really wanted me to tell her to go back to Him. I said, well, let me tell you something. He gave me the story on there for a couple hours, and I said, fella, there's just room for one person upon the throne of your heart, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that you say is all for you. Big eye. You have been deprived of some little joy, some fun. You have suffered. You. And this woman has loved God enough, and she's willing to sacrifice happiness. She's willing to let you go for an experience with God. And she don't even have the Holy Ghost, not even saved. If she'll die now, she'll go to hell. But she's willing to step out and let it all go. And in her heart, she loves you. She tells you to bow her knees. She loves you. But you love the world. You love yourself. And you love some false ideals, but you don't love God. You don't love God. That dear woman has believed on Him in the world.
Yes.
Believed on Him in the face of a broken home.
Yes.
You can put a bamboo or an iron curtain, but they're going to believe on Him anyhow. You can put some laws up there and tack orders up that you cannot worship God, but they're going to believe on Him. It's a mystery to see how folks are going to believe God. I was preaching for Elder Candace, and one old boy got his wife from the altar and hit her in the face and said, don't you go to that altar anymore. The next night she was down there seeking God again. They're going to believe on Him in the world.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm telling you? It's a mystery to see the way folks believe.
Yeah.
They're going to believe that they're going to get the Holy Ghost. They're going to believe that there is a God. They're going to believe.
Oh, yeah.
It's a mystery to see folks believe God. They'll believe Him for healing. They'll believe Him for finances. They'll believe Him for the future. What else does it say? Well, it's a mystery to think that He left this old world. But I'm so thankful to tell you that, praise God, it actually did happen. Jesus Christ went away. And He's coming back again. He's coming back again. He is seated up in the glory. He's not in the grave. You can take all the other great leaders of any other religion.
Yeah.
And I'll have this to say about them. You know right where they are.
Amen.
You can go to their little old murder place, and there they are.
Amen.
You can go to Mecca if you want, and you'll find that old leader down there. And you can go to the other great places, and you'll find the champions of religion. They're asleep right there.
Yes, sir.
Oh, brother, nobody can find out where Jesus is.
Yeah.
He's not down here anymore. He ascended up on high.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got the only God that we've you can talk to this God, and we have a God that hears, and a God that answers prayer, and He left this whole world and went up on high. And the best part, He's coming back again one of these days. Thank God for the mystery. I'm in love with Him tonight, and I hope that God will open up just a little bit of your heart and show you who He is and bless you. And you'll spend your days just being in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for the privilege to talk to you one more time. May God add his blessing to these words.